Friends, this is the season of holy days, gatherings, and gifts. Still, for many of us, our hearts are heavy. There's turmoil and tightening economic conditions abroad and at home. For many of us this year, there's distress and grief. We long for abundance and peace, yet so often it seems our lives are ruled by scarcity and loss. As God's people, it's good we remember that we are not defined by what we achieve nor by what we lack. Rather, we are defined by God's achievements through Jesus for us and for all the world. Despite the storms of this life, we are a people whose lives break forth in thanksgiving. For even now, despite all that we face, God's riches in Christ fill us to the full and beyond. As King David wrote in Psalm 23, "My cup overflows."
This year, 1517 has been richly blessed. With your generous support and encouragement, we published 13 new books, including everything from daily devotionals to New Testament commentaries and Christian fiction, as well as more than 400 original articles on theology and scripture from over 50 different contributors.
Together with our podcast network, which doubled in listenership and had over 5 million downloads, 1517 reached hundreds of thousands of people with the good news of Christ and his completed work of salvation. We are so grateful for you and the many people like you who give regularly and generously to support this work. We don't take any of this for granted.
And so here at Year's End, despite the happenings of this world, we thank God the Father, for it is from him that all blessings flow to us and through us. We thank God for our mission and work and your participation in it. And we thank God for your support of 1517. Our cup truly overflows with the riches of God through Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast, part of the 1517 podcast network of shows. You can go to 1517.org/podcasts to see all of our shows there. My name is Caleb Keith. Today I am joined by my father, Dr. Scott Keith, and by Dr. Adam Francisco for a special Thanksgiving episode of the Thinking Fellows. We're going to do something very sappy, very cliche. We're going to talk about what we're thankful for. And you should have heard a message from the 1517 staff. Thanking you for listening to these shows and specifically thanking those donors who support the shows and 1517 financially. Next week is Giving Tuesday the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. We've talked about Giving Tuesday before. It's definitely one of these, it's actually sort of like this penance after Black Friday. Make you feel.
Black Friday now seems to be. Black November.
Black November, yeah.
It does. Like, I'm getting emails that are like, from November 1 on, it's like, we're save 20% on this bike part and save 15% on this bike part.
We don't need to get on a side, but I think REI.
I'm thankful for that. I was at Bass Pro Shops yesterday and got a pair of Muck boots for $30.
Ooh, I got some
regularly
muck boots.
$109.
Mine are a little small. So I'll take it. I'm not very thankful for them. They're a little tight.
Shopping November is a good thing to be thankful for. I'm totally down with it. But I think a couple of years ago, REI did that opt outside thing where they canceled Black Friday, and they made like the 3 weeks before Black Friday all have the Black Friday sale, and then COVID happened, and everybody was like,
"Opt
hey,
inside.
Wait, what if we did the same thing?" And we just put everything on sale and people shopped all month. So I think that works out okay. Giving Tuesday.
I so want to say something about COVID right now, but I'm not going to.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm tired of this phrase, COVID happened.
Oh,
COVID
interesting.
Happened.
You're tired of that phrase?
I kind of am. It's sort of like saying people got sick.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. But Giving Tuesday, way to cleanse yourself after all the shopping, and 1517, famous for opposing indulgences and buying yourself some penance, it hops on the Giving Tuesday bandwagon, but it ends up being very important for us because not is just Giving Tuesday important, but it kicks off our last sort of end of year giving campaign that helps us meet our goals for the year. And this year we are fortunate to be very close. And so if you would like to help push us to the end of our need this year, you can give at any time, but starting on Giving Tuesday, there'll be matching donations. And then we go to fulfill that goal all the way to the end of the year. So if you are planning on supporting us or thinking about supporting us, go to 1517.org/donate to find out more. We have a brand new donate page that has some more information on it. And we definitely thank you for your support of this show. Okay, guys. So we're all very thankful here. Very thankful people. Adam, let's start with you, Adam. We I dropped this episode on you beyond last minute. Why don't you you tell me what you're before. Thankful for? Yeah.
Well, lots of things. I'm thankful for lots of earthly things, most especially my family. And even though our family has been for almost a year and a half now, kind of changed with the two foster children, and it's been an interesting ride, I'm still thankful for even the chaos. It's like I've been kind of reflecting on C.S. Lewis' words in The Weight of Glory a lot lately. I've probably mentioned it on a couple shows, but and then I think it was Walter Hooper. Is that the guy who was basically his, not secretary, but in charge of his estate for the last couple of years of his life?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Walter Hooper, yeah. He said something to the effect that if there's one thing about Lewis that you have to know is that he saw every individual human being as an eternal soul or something along those lines. And so when things get a little rough or crazy, looking at these two little boys who come from God knows what, but looking at these two little souls that's by all sorts of things, all of a sudden wound up in our house in the way that they're able to kind of grow and enjoy life, enjoy life that they didn't have before. Also thankful for, this is going to be really not sappy, but thankful for 1517. I reflect on the work it does and how it's able to move across borders or boundaries that other sort of, but other organizations or groups of people aren't able to because of various things. And that's very ambiguous sounding, but 1517, in the early days, the mission statement was something like to speak or proclaim the gospel in as many ways as possible to as many people as possible. And 1517 does that and can do that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't have to be afraid of certain things in our declaring and our defense of the gospel. And yeah, I think I'll leave it at that because I don't want to take up too much time.
That's good.
Lots of things to be thankful for.
Yeah, you stole my best too, Adam.
I'm also thankful
they're probably all going to be very similar.
Yeah, but I'm also thankful. I always thought Caleb probably slept until 9 every morning.
He does.
Normally. No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Like 9:20 usually.
It must have been 5:59 your time. And that's why I thought you guys were messing with me.
I had already been up for an hour. I have 3 kids, people. I don't sleep until 9. That's not even possible.
He also has a very active wife who does a lot of things around the house, so he does sleep until 9.
Oh, my gosh. the slope's open at 9, so that's not true.
On slope days, 8:20.
Okay. Yeah. Dad, you want to take a turn?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that really bugs me, and I think people who listen to the show probably have picked up on this, about the age in which we live, is that it feels like to me that no matter sort of which side of the political cultural spectrum you're on, everybody's walking around saying things have never been worse. Just things have never been worse. In fact, I ran into yet another young couple just recently that are saying that they don't want to have kids because the world is so bad and they don't want to bring kids into such a bad world. And so I actually think while this is maybe a cheesy topic to do during Thanksgiving week, it's not a bad thing to remind our listeners of, is that there is lots to be thankful for in the world in which we live. There's a lot to be freaked out about. There's a lot to be scared about. There's even a lot to be maybe legitimately worried about. But that doesn't eliminate all of the blessings that we have, and even all of the blessings that living in this particular time affords us that we wouldn't have had before. And you could even just use this particular podcast as a reference point to say you have access to information from people that create this content at no expense to you on a weekly basis, and you get it by virtue of logging on, you know, probably via your phone to a very simple application that allows you to listen to this and literally thousands of other shows just like it all over the world on thousands of topics if you want to know more. Adam texted me this week. That's another thing to be thankful for, the ability to text and not have to talk on the phone to people all the time.
I was actually...
I thought it was going to be me. You're going to say that's another thing to be thankful for. It's Adam texting.
I was actually thinking about...
It brightens your day.
That, in your guys' lifetime, that had to be... That was actually an interesting change, right? Because I went up to Washington, and I taught at a friend's church up in Washington. And I was thinking about when Adam came out to Nevada to teach at Bethlehem when we were attending there. Geez, I mean... how long had it been since you guys had gotten to like do something like that side by side since Concordia?
And like that 15 years.
And then all of a sudden you have cell phones where you can talk every day.
Things.
It changes things. And I was thinking that's pretty much the difference, right? Is that,
and I first reached out to Adam about that gig when I was in Oxford. And so you had the ability to do that from, you know, across the pond, as they say.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of amazing. So Adam texts me this week and he says, "What do you know about Calvin Coolidge, whose name I now know is John Calvin Coolidge?" and I said, "You know, not much." And I texted him back the very little that I did know about him, and he said, "Hey, have you ever read this book?" I said, "No, I haven't. I checked it out. I was able to get that book on Audible." Like within 30 seconds and start listening to it. And, you know,
without even interrupting, that's the other thing. You have audiobook, so you could continue to like,
work, doing my day, man.
And you could write emails, ride your bike, go and clean your garage and read at the same time.
Yeah. All that, you know, write articles, do whatever, and still have that kind of going on in the background at 1.5 speed. And you know,
and that's how you get through it so fast
and know more about, you know, who, a very underrated president of a time period in American history that I'm really interested in that I didn't know about before. And that's amazing. So that's amazing. So as much as I am sometimes or portray myself as a Luddite, I am thankful for the technology that, and the age in which we live that, you know, allows these things to happen. I can say, you know, I loved living in the 80s and growing up in the 80s was kind of cool. But I think things are probably in many discernible ways better now. And I'm thankful for that. Again, they're in ways they're worse, of course, because we live in a sinful world. You're not gonna ever really tip that balance, right? People, there'll be sinful humans that use this technology for sinful motives. We will at times too. And, you know, this has to be realized. But we can still be thankful for that. And one of the things that does worry me the most about the age in which we live is that everybody thinks it's so bad that, you know, I think they're running away from, even the quote-unquote progressives are running away from some of the true progress that we've made and kind of seem hell-bent on actually making their things have never been worse, a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that worries me a bit, but I think on balance, people will keep striving to make things as good as they can be within sort of the simple possibilities that we have. And I look forward to seeing some of that. Now, I'm also, again, scared to see some of what happens. in the future. But at the end of the day, as we've said on the show many times, what happens here, you know, is not the end for us. Yeah. And we know that there is a hope that lies beyond any of our technological or otherwise human progress. And so I'm thankful to know that too. I'm thankful that at some point in my life, there were preachers who preached the gospel into my ear and baptized me with water and the word and brought me into this faith, that I had a mother and a grandmother that insisted on keeping me in this faith and invested in that by making sure I went to church and to Sunday school and Lutheran grade school. And I'm thankful for that because that's, you know, I truly believe that's kept me and my brother, who was just up here this weekend, in the one true faith. And that's a wonderful thing. So I'm thankful for those people. I'm, of course, thankful for my family. There's a lot of them up here in Big Bear now. So it's easy to be thankful for them every day and at the same time to be frustrated. It's merely thankfulness, you know. I have one of those families that you can sort of, and I think Adam probably would appreciate this with the fostering you've done the past year and a half. I have one of those families that it's easy to get frustrated with, but it's also, it takes you, sometimes you catch yourself being frustrated with things that on balance in other families and in other situations are like, would be really, really, really little, you know, like really, really little thing. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they didn't shovel their snow, you know? And it's easy to get real uppity about that. And then you look at sort of at some other situations, and go, wow, this is probably not a big deal. So, yeah. And of course, I am too thankful for 1517. I've said this at Here We Still Stand, but it's not my imagination about what 1517 could be that has gotten us here. I'd say maybe it's some of my stalwartness that's helped that, but it's not my imagination. And I'm so thankful for what we have become. The difference between, you know, now and 7 years ago when I first came on full time, it's shocking to me, and how much God has blessed the work of this organization and the proclamation and defense of the gospel that is done through it is something to truly, truly be thankful for.
Cool. Yeah, I would say that the comment about, you know, not having kids because the world is this is such a bad world. You know, you hear that one a lot. I hear that one a lot.
I think been an excuse through the ages.
Yeah. I also think that it discounts the fact that the world your kids experience largely until they're, you know, much older, say high school or whatever, is largely whatever you create for them. As a home environment, as a school environment, I mean, ultimately parents make that choice as well. You know, if you think the world is bad, create an environment or a world for them that is not include all those things that you're worried about. And if you're worried about sort of political or existential problems that would be, you know, bad for kids, you know, I just think those are probably so little on the scale of what people experience every day that really doesn't have much to deal with it. And if you want the world to get better in any way, shape, or form, and you think you have something figured out about why the world's so bad, you probably should have some kids because that's what gets left behind and keeps the world going.
Yeah, the irony to that whole thing is that's if you really feel like somebody needs to make the world a better place, your best chance personally to accomplish that is by raising children who, you know...
it's not just sitting around tweeting about how
no. So if you think that there are, you know, lots of bad people in the world and it's making it bad, why don't you produce three or four other people that you help make into good people to counterbalance that? I mean, it's silly. I remember Rod used to talk about his men's meetings with Paul Fairweather and how at one point he was expressing to Paul, you know, his worry about his daughter Erin and, you know, what might become of you. I was daughter in a particular way. And Paul looking at Rod would communicate that Paul looked at him and said, you know, nothing in this world will be have greater influence on her than her relationship with you. So just focus on that. And I think, you know, that's true for parents. That's just true for parents. You are, if you choose to be so, you are the greatest influence in their lives, Father.
Yeah, I think that's true. I'm thankful for my family. I would say specifically, I am very thankful to have three awesome kids. And I'm thankful.
Especially that little baby.
Especially that little Edmund's cool. He is. It is, you know, amazing how quickly, I mean, from very, very early, from weeks old, you can see their different personalities. It is truly amazing. I'm extremely thankful to have these kids while I'm so young, because I can do pretty awesome stuff with them. We just did a trip doing like 2 full days of snowboard lessons at Mammoth with the older two. And they're 5 and 6. So
wow. They get it? They get the hang of it already?
They did well.
They can ride lifts, like small lifts, and get down to stuff. It's cool. Snowboarding is harder than skiing initially because it takes more muscle and coordination to stop. With skiing, there's sort of a natural way to stop that you can get kids doing very quickly. What I've heard is that to then get to an advanced level of skiing is harder than to go from learning to snowboard to a more advanced level of snowboarding. Because the barrier to entry is so hard with snowboarding anyways.
I wouldn't know. I'm so terrible at it. It's just what it is at this point. But I will say, just to add on to that, that I went on that trip, and I'm old, as you remind me all the time, Caleb, but I'm not actually that old.
No, you're not that old. You could be their dad.
Well, that's weird. You know, to be young enough to have
that's
had
very weird.
To have had my kids young enough that I'm able to totally go on a snowboarding trip with my grandchildren and still snowboard if I want to.
Yeah.
I didn't. I went on a couple runs instead. But
you can. And you did the other day.
I can.
Here just locally in Big Bear. And so
that's kind of neat.
Oh, yeah. So it's very cool. And I'm reminded of that. I have a friend here in Big Bear who's he's 40 and has kids slightly younger than my two. And he's been hanging out with us. And we did a couple mountain bike races together. Thing, and I mean he won't stop talking about how, like, looking at how much more energy you have as a sub 30-year-old than he and his wife probably should have had kids sooner.
Mark Pearson tells me that all the time. He's like, we used to look at you when you were in college and you had kids and we thought you were crazy. He's like, you had it right, man. You had it right.
Did you guys know I turned 49 yesterday?
Wow, you're old.
Adam, happy birthday.
Yeah. So I'm thankful old. I'm not as old as you, Scott. But I think that's got to be super cool to be. You're 50. You're 51, right?
I'm 50.
That's young.
I'm 50.
I think.
50.
And being able to go on a snowboarding trip with your grandkids, like, they're old enough, you know.
Yeah.
It's and you're cool. Still young enough to to do that.
I will say I feel younger this year than I did several years ago because I lost a bunch of weight, and it really does make a difference.
I can tell in the snowboarding this year that it makes a difference, because 2 years ago, you could tell how hard it was.
Yeah, that makes a real difference.
I'm definitely thankful for having kids, and I definitely encourage more people who are on the fence about it to just get married and have those kids, man. Like, if you're been dating somebody for too long, just get married and just have kids right away. Like, just don't. Don't sit on the fence on it. And
I think it's been clear over the course of the show, and maybe more so the last several years, that the show's very pronatalist.
Yeah. I mean, it just has like the largest positive impact on your life possible. Yeah,
it really does.
And it's hard to underplay it, I think, for myself. I am so thankful for the automobile.
Well, that's interesting.
I
like that one.
I really am. I have spent, I have driven over 18,000 miles this year.
It's kind of a freedom device in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It really is. I've driven my family in particular over 18,000 miles this year. 7,500 of that were on two road trips across the U.S. and then other times have just been down to the office in San Clemente and back and down the mountain and back, which is basically anytime you leave Big Bear and come back is, you know, 150 miles.
That first road trip was the one that inspired me to lose a bunch of weight.
That first road trip, yeah. And so we went to the Bentonville conference. Here we still stand regional event, and we drove there and back two different routes across the U.S. And then I took this trip to Washington, which was where I spoke at a friend's church, and we set up some new podcasting equipment and stuff. And I took the family.
We went to Monterey.
On that, we went to we did some camping, a weekend camping trip in Monterey and Santa Cruz as well. And then
Mammoth.
We've been to Mammoth, and we did, for those mountain bike races that I was doing, my family would go camp. They're close, but my family would go camp overnight for those and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm very thankful for the car. On this last trip, you know, I was thinking about that idea. What was it? The name of the, I think it's a book, but it's also just a concept, Dangerous at Any Speed.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader, yeah, and just sort of imagining the world without the automobile. And it's hard to, because the U.S. and our infrastructure and everything is car-centric, and while they are dangerous, and you can see why they're dangerous, especially, I think, as cars get heavier and faster.
He was mostly talking about one particular car. But
he was, but it's been sort of adopted as a, if we had put the kibosh on it and gone public transportation sooner, our infrastructure in our country would look different.
This is a giant country.
Yeah, I know.
That's something you got to say about this. This is a giant country. And I like to have massive, yeah, public infrastructure that would get you to all these different places in this giant country would be just a lot.
And the thing I think is, and like, this could be just grossly individualistic, but I love the freedom to be able to literally go anywhere I want, whenever I want, as long as I don't have other commitments like work or church or whatever. I mean, those are basically the two regular commitments.
From that,
I
could be thankful for the ability to mostly work from home, from your laptop.
Oh, I definitely am.
And can come with you.
The automobile would be, yeah.
Little Rodecaster packs up into a little box.
Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate. And that's where, like, being thankful to 1517. I'm thankful for 1517 for all the, you know, all the reasons, like proclamation of the gospel that Adam listed and the work it's accomplished. But I'm also just thankful for my job and listeners who continue to support our shows and listen to our shows and allow me to have this job, because part of the thing with that Bentonville road trip, one of the reasons I could do that was because we could record from the road. Mm-hmm. I can answer emails and phone calls from my iPhone in my pocket.
From Estes Park in the snow.
In the snow, outside.
Outside on a patio.
Yeah.
You remember that, Adam?
I do.
With elk, yeah. Like 20 feet to our right.
20 feet to our right.
So, you know, you can do the job from anywhere. Now, you definitely, what I've learned doing the job from the road is that it is much easier and often better to do it from home or from the office. Sure. Or from Dallas. You couldn't do it from the road every week of the year, but you can do it from the road, and it's been awesome. And yep, I'm just thankful for all the utility, the tools that allowed us to do that, things like my phone, things like the car. I really don't want to go backwards on the car, and that's why I bring it up, because I think
he lives in California. They're trying to take his car.
They're trying to.
Oh, that's where this is coming from.
We're trying to go backwards on the car. You know, I'm not.
What he means by backwards is California's got a mandate that all cars be
electric
by 2035. There's a slide in to that it can be a plug-in hybrid, I think.
Yeah. My one downside to this really is, I'm not even going to go an environmental route or anything. It's just that they have less. They have less range.
Yeah.
And less top off ability.
Yeah, I mean, currently your best range on something like that is what, 300 miles? Or
they're also
around there.
And I would say this: they're also currently antinatalist in this sense. Yeah. There's only one electric car in the market today that could do what my 7-seat Subaru has done this year, which is carry me, 3 kids, a dog, and a trailer, and 6 bikes. And go certain distances.
Once you added
in a
the trailer to that car, you would never get those distances.
And once I add the stuff, like a roof rack and stuff,
you'd never get those distances.
and I can just fill up. And so even though my gas mileage gets...
And how much is that one electric car that would do that cost?
It's $150,000 that could do it. My car was $35,000. So there's a, you know...
That's a bit of a gap.
There's a bit of a gap there. So, and so that's what I would say. It's like, if you're just two people, there's actually a lot of electric cars out there that could do 98% of what you want to do, including road trips with only mild inconvenience. If you are a family, not only is the cost outrageous, but they just can't do what like I can do with my family, mm-hmm. given the gas car. So I just don't want to go backwards on that. And I think, people, especially in the state we live in,
Governor Newsom, reconsider.
Yeah. I mean, the plug-in hybrid loophole definitely means that gas cars will be around, but, so yeah, I'm thankful for that. Thankful for 1517. I mean, those, I think we've each done like two, so that's fair enough.
That was actually kind of fun. I liked it. Anything else, Adam? Did you think of anything else you're thankful for?
Well, I mean, there's lots of things, but we don't need to talk about that.
Well, I'd say it's, on yours, I know that having the foster kids has been hard a lot because the foster kids system is difficult.
It's awful.
But, as hard as it's been, it's been fun and sometimes sad, sort of getting the updates from you about how well they're doing. Like, you get a picture from Adam just kind of randomly with no
context.
Explanation.
I'm the king of that.
Or context, just like on his Instagram, which will be just like this little person, you know, with an advanced belt in, I assume, jujitsu. You know, and you know that this little person would have not had the opportunity to do that if they hadn't come into the Francisco Ram for this period of time. And you know, you just know that, right? And it's just, or a sad picture of them getting some medical care that also, you know, likely they would not have got if they weren't in the Francisco family. And so, not to make your head any bigger than it normally is, but I think I know it's been hard, but I'm thankful from the outside that you guys did it.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think you named him already, so I'll say his name again, Mark Pearson. He and I have, over the years, talked about how, I hope this doesn't get me in trouble, but, you know, oftentimes in certain circles, Christian circles, what really matters kind of gets pushed off into the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when we focus so much in certain circles, this will get me in trouble, but who cares? It's almost like we treat human beings like they're doctrine confessing machines.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
And I mean, again, like Lewis's words, I read The Weight of Glory probably once a month now, especially those, I think it's the last two paragraphs. It's so simple and it's so like, duh. But still profound. I got to keep, because I, you know, I'm like you, Scott, a little grumpy.
A little grumpy.
You know?
A little cynical sometimes.
Yeah, and people, I mean, just things disappoint me too easy, I think. But you know, regardless of how awful people can be or how crazy their ideas might be, it's still a person for whom Christ died. You know, not just a glob of flesh, but an eternal soul. And that Pearson and I have talked about that over the years and how we get a little disillusioned with some of our friends who are like of the pure doctrine crowd, which is just fine, but they lose sight of that. And that's the thing, like going back to 1517, that's the thing 1517 does very well, is it is both, if you will, confessional and missional or evangelical, however you want to, you know, characterize it. It's a great gift. It's a great relief for the pent up theological angst I've had in certain arenas where you're just worried about you might say something the wrong way or use the wrong word
forever be doomed to be named some, you know, something that you may or may not be.
Right. Well, that's that's a great thing to be thankful for.
So you guys look like you're, it's our listeners can't see you. It's kind of funny. You guys are both in puffy jackets or
double
big winter
but
coats.
So normally we would record this episode in my office, which is nice and heated and carpeted and comfortable seats. Yeah. I have guests at my house, and one of them is sleeping in my office, and it's 6 a.m. here, and that person is still asleep. And so we had to come to where Caleb records Outlaw God with Stephen Paulson, which is his garage. Now, it's been the coldest November on record in Big Bear. And so we are in his garage.
It's not that cold in here,
6 a.m. in the morning. And it's by not that cold, he means it's probably pushing 38, 40.
It's 52 in here. I brought out a temperature gauge. It's 52.
I don't think it's 52, but whatever.
It's been bone-chilling cold here in Illinois. I brought a buck back from Michigan just the other day.
Oh, I didn't
a week ago.
I didn't see a picture
and
of it.
It's nothing worth it.
He wasn't proud of it. But,
but the shot was amazing.
Was a spike?
Yeah.
No. It's like a three. It's a weird. I'm glad to take the thing out of the gene pool.
Okay.
But it's been hanging in my tree, and I was going to process it, you know, because it was like in the mid-30s, and that's perfect for dry aging it and everything. But then it just dipped down to 11 the other day, and now
froze.
It's like rock hard. Yeah. So now I'm like, well, how do I
bring it into the basement for a few days?
I mean, I live in Wheaton. Wheaton's kind of, it's laptop class people, right?
A lot of bucks hanging in the trees in the backyard.
I don't think I've heard that, but I like that. Laptop class people.
Oh, yeah. I learned it just the other day, so I'm dropping some stuff on you. But but yeah, I've got this deer hanging from my tree, and I've put it in such a way that most of my neighbors probably can't see it except for the one that lives behind me. So I'm waiting for the day that the conservation officer shows up and says, "You have a tag for that deer," and then
the HOA knocks on
your
door.
You're breaking Wheaton ordinances.
That deer is the wrong color.
You should come to the loaf, Adam. This is definitely not laptop class people.
You could hang a tree deer in your tree here, no problem.
Yes.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to drive in a couple of years.
Well, you just got to buy that that gasoline car in the last year you can buy it and just hang on to it. I mean, by 2035, you'll be 65.
I mean,
that's true.
Also, the Toyota Tundra is a plug-in hybrid, so it technically counts. And it's a twin-turbo V6.
That's a cool truck. I'm interested in that truck.
Yeah. So, in 2030, the only cars left on the road, Toyota Prius variants, truck, car, SUV.
Van.
Yeah.
Van. All right.
Very cool, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Thinking Fellows podcast, part of the 1517 Podcast Network shows. We are also very thankful for our listeners and the ability to keep doing this show. I lose track of how many years it's been, but if you came on 7 years ago, that means our 7th anniversary will be next.
That's when I came on full time, so we might be pushing 8.
No. We didn't start recording until you were.
Okay.
So.
Hey, you know what's amazing about this show is I've met now twice people who have come into my jiu-jitsu gym who they learn my name's Adam and Adam Francisco, and they're like, wait a minute. And they're Thinking Fellows listeners.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's cool, yeah.
And like,
yeah, that's cool. That's,
just the other day, a guy who was described as a fanboy of mine. I was like, nah, we don't have fam. I offered to sign his back, though.
Sign his back. Wow.
little.
After you made him submit in some kind of weird jiu-jitsu hold?
Yeah. After the blood ran out of his face and he fell asleep for a bit.
That is pretty.
Just kidding.
That is pretty cool. I feel like in a laptop class neighborhood, you got slightly better odds of that. I've met one person on a ski lift who has.
Oh, really?
Who knew
our
show.
That's very cool and very random, but because we're here, there's a lot of evangelicals out here who have kind of Reformation ties, so it makes sense it would happen here.
Yep.
Not as many here.
No.
I have met a couple people, like the guy that's drawn up the engineering plans for the deck on Little Bear. He had listened to the show before we met him.
I've met more people who I'll give it to Dan have listened to 30 and 40 minutes. I think like if you meet evangelicals down in Orange County and you talk about, and I'll be like, oh, I run this podcast network, and maybe I've heard a show. My best odds are probably saying 40 minutes in the Old Testament.
Oh, I agree with that.
So. Huh. But yes.
It's not even because of the more listeners, which they have now because of the
Bible.
No,
they're very Bible-based.
It's just that they're very Bible-based.
Yeah. So, it's very cool. And thankful for listeners like you who keep these shows going, keep the podcast network alive and growing. So thank you for joining us every week over these past several years, and we will catch you next time. Bye.